Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this meeting of Rydale District Council's Planning Committee. We're not expecting a fire alarm this evening, so if it does sound, it is for real. Please, can you leave the building by the rear doors or the door to my right and congregate in the top car park. Ladies and gents' toilets are in the corridor along with drinking water. Please, can you ensure your mobile phones are switched off or on silent? We do have a number of speakers tonight. Each speaker will have 3 minutes, and I will give an audible warning when there are 30 seconds left. Please can I ask that members of the public respect the process this evening and resist in calling out. Do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Moving on to the agenda. Agenda item 1, apologies for absence. Have we received any apologies?
Apologies have been received from Councillors Andrews and Cleary. Councillors Burt and Val Arnold will substitute.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Val Arnold and Councillor Burr, for attending this evening. Agenda item 2, declarations of interest. Does anybody remember have any declarations to declare? Councillor Windruth.
Thank you, Chairman. Agenda items 6 and 7 have been lobbied on both personal and non-pecuniary. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jean-Yudin.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Same as Councillor Windrus. I've been lobbied on items 6 and 7, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary.
Thank you. Councillor Val Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. I've just been lobbied on agenda item 9. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Councillor Potter.
Yeah, just on 6 and 7 and the same as Councillor Windrus.
Thank you. Councillor Lord.
Chairman, number 6 and 7 again, and it's just through emails or something like that.
Thank you. I've been lobbied on items 6 and 7, personal, non-pecuniary, non-prejudicial. Thank you. Agenda item 3, the minutes of the meeting held on the 1st of August. Do we agree that these are a correct record? I will move these minutes. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Shields. Thank you. Can I put those to the vote, please? Those have been approved. Agenda item 4 is urgent business, and I have no urgent business. Agenda item 5 is schedule of items to be determined by committee. Agenda item 6 is application at Belco Industrial Park, Ropery Lane, Weaverthorpe, pages 7 to 21 on your agenda papers. We do have a number of speakers, but I will get Gary to outline the application first.
Thank you, Chairman. Obviously, this was an application that was presented at the last Planning Committee meeting, and members resolved to carry out a site inspection, and I gather from the presenting officer that it was quite well attended. I think eight members of the Planning Committee were attendant on the site visit, so I shan't labour the point in terms of what members saw at the site visit. Rely on members to report back in terms of those responses. At the last meeting, quite a number of photographs of the site and surrounding areas were presented to members in the committee meeting, and these are those photos, which I'll quickly just flash through, because again you'll have seen most of these views on the site visit or from the surrounding area in Rary Drive or from the church and adjacent public right of way. There is one additional photograph which the case officer did take, which is at the end of this run of slides, which I'll show you, because it's taken from further south on the public right of way going further up the hill, and is a view taken from some distance, but would like to show members that view. So these are views from outside the site. These are views, glimpse sites between the Rary Farm buildings. This is Rary Drive there, in glimpse of the tree belt that was referred to. This is glimpses of the site in between buildings. And this is the view that was showed at the last committee, which is where the metal surface of the access road changes to the public right of way. And as you head south, you're going back up the hill on the Wolds. And this is a view from the opposite side of the village, taken from the road outside of the church. So here you're north of the village, looking out over the built-up area of the village and the outline of Rary Drive in the distance there, the top of the properties in the village street, and the site here. And this is the view from the churchyard, so you can see the tops of the main village street, Rary Drive, and the I'll call them industrial buildings on the existing site. So it's in this area that the development would be located. These are views from within the site, showing the existing area with some of the external tyre storage. And this is the further photograph, and because it's at distance, so you're some way back up the track now on the public right of way, even further south. So the land's continuing to rise, and in the distance you can see the line of the village here and the hedgerow varying in heights there. So in that line you can just see the line of the land in front of the site, and this is the ridge line of properties in the main village street. So glimpsed views of the site interspersed between the hedgerows, but obviously you're some distance away at that point. So that's the only other image I've got for you, Chairman. We've got and had some further comments received, Chairman, but the comments that I have received are actually from the Parish Council and also from the Speaker's wife, so I can report those to you. I say we've got some detailed parish comments, but I think if the parish are here to go through those, I think I could repeat it. I could say it, and then you will end up repeating it. So I'm in your hands, whether you want me to read this all out or not. Right. Okay. Well, we got these comments from Weaverthorpe Parish Council, which are dated the 28th of August. And obviously aware of tonight's meeting, wishing to reiterate their concerns over certain aspects of the application. The trees that are on the western boundary of the site are over 40 years old and were planted to screen the existing buildings. They can be seen on all entrances to the village, provide a habitat for wildlife that the new planting will not replace. The countryside officer advice is questioned by the parish council in terms of replacing it in terms of biodiversity, but the trees as currently shown are proposed to be removed, and that they occupy an area of around about quarter of an acre on the site, which they think is not insignificant. There is a recent tree survey which is referred to in the late pages, which members will have seen, and the parish again query that survey. The survey also refers to some of the trees being in good condition and having a life expectancy of 20 to 40 years, and that the habitat survey suggests that they may be home to many species. Outside storage of tyres was discussed, because this was an issue that was raised at the last meeting. If you remember, I raised an issue where the applicant wished to retain an area of outside storage of tyres on the existing site, which was shown on a plan hatched. But the parish council state that they think that the EA guidelines, which are also suggesting, which are not planning controls but the permitting controls, suggesting that the stack should be 20 metres square by 4 metres high with gaps in between, were not being complied with. That may well be the case, Chairman, but it's not for us to enforce, but clearly the EA may wish to be made aware of that. Also, there was also reference of an hours of operation condition, which had been suggested as 7 till 7. The PC in its submission suggested 7 till 6. And they go on to say the applicants consulted suggested that they would be acceptable to that amendment. That isn't the EHO's recommendation, Chairman, but clearly the applicant's agent is here, so can clarify that position tonight. But they do go on to say that this is a rural location, and continuing working with forklift trucks and HGVs until 7 at night would disrupt the enjoyment of gardens and properties adjacent to the site. Added to that, particularly as the HGVs have to travel past a popular public house, I think there are two, but it must be the one on the access road on the corner, where people are often sitting from 6 on summer evenings. And they go on to conclude by saying at the initial meeting the consultant stated they would consult with residents on the positioning scale of the landscaping. We note that the original drawings show continuous trees all around the perimeter of the proposed building B. On the latest drawings, the tree landscaping has been reduced to scattered trees and a 2 metre high hedge. The planning officer's reports say that many residents have asked for a hedge instead of trees. Most residents seem to be in favour of the original plan and not the scattered trees that are now planned. It would be our preference that any landscaping is carried out before construction work start on site so that they are planted in soft ground, not ground compacted by heavy machinery. They conclude by saying they still have safety concerns over the entrance and HGV movements in Ropery Lane. And then there's some photographs submitted with that. Council has received two late responses to the application from third parties. One was from a Mrs. House who lives in a property to the north of the site, but queries the application when the local plan site document currently classes the land, or at least part of it, as residential. Most of the land is outside of the village development limit. Well, I think those are matters of fact, Chairman. There is a planning permission for residential development on part of the site at the rear of Rarey Farm, which is on the northern part of the site. And the land outside of the village development limit is identified as an area of high landscape value as being in the Wolds. And the report doesn't suggest otherwise. So I think this is an application that you have to judge. We have to judge on its own merits as to whether or not it complies with policy. The second letter, sorry, email that I received this morning was from a Mrs. Lake who is involved with Weaverthorpe School and draws attention to the village green and its play equipment being located at the junction of the main road and Ropery Lane, where HGVs turn to go down the lane towards the site. And the thought of increased HGV movements is concerning to in that respect. That she goes on to say that she doesn't think this development adds anything to village life, adds physical risk from accident and pollution, and that there's no advantage to local residents and families. And I think that's it, Chairman. Oh, sorry, one more update, which is referred to with the reference to the comments of the countryside officer, which refers to the planting and the additional information that was submitted. Which confirms that most of the tree group TN2 was to be removed, which initially had been highlighted as having potential bat habitat. Well, it goes on to say, although this was not confirmed and is unlikely to be anything other than transient roost for very low numbers of bats, however, there is still potential to harm bats and their resting places, and then goes on to recommend both a landscaping condition and a further ecological protection and creation scheme. So those are two extra conditions. And have nothing else to add, Chairman.
Thank you. We do have three speakers this evening. First, I call Mr. Shellard for the Parish Council.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak again. Thanks very much to Mr. Housden for reading out that letter. I'm not going to reiterate the things that were said in that letter, but when we were here last time, a question was asked by one of the councillors as to why the Parish Council changed its mind. So when the application was first submitted, we felt that it was a good use of the land and a good thing to do. So we supported the application, but we put a number of conditions as to why we supported it. The application was subsequently revised, and none of those conditions or suggestions that we'd made had been taken into consideration by the applicant. We had had an opportunity to meet with the applicant and their agents and discuss our concerns, and when the subsequent revision was made, none of those or few of those concerns had been taken into consideration. So our second submission into in respect of the application was to not support it. The application was revised a third time, or revised the second time to make a third application, and at that stage we just reiterated our concerns and neither supported nor objected to the particular application at that time. We've spoken to a number of residents within the village and they have conflicting views. Some people are for it, some people are against it, and quite a lot of people are ambivalent. That had to be taken into consideration in what we said as well. During one of our meetings with the consultants, it was mentioned about outside storage of tyres and how the environmental agency rules are changing, and the desire was to build sheds to put the tyres into. It now seems odd that the existing site can still have outside storage but the new site can't, so we would like to see all tyres stored inside if the application is approved. And one of the considerations with the buildings was to allow vehicles to drive into the site, drive around the site and leave the site in a forward gear. The outside storage of tyres would make the movement of vehicles, or it would appear to make the movement of vehicles around the site more difficult, so the vehicles may not be able to leave the site in a forward gear, and we still have issues of vehicles leaving the site in a reverse gear today, endangering life and certainly well-being on the narrow lane that is Ropery Lane. Which brings me on to safety within Ropery Lane. Those of you that were able to visit the site within the last couple of weeks saw how narrow it is, and with the increased use of traffic along that lane, if two HGVs are trying to pass each other, one exiting, one leaving the site, it doesn't improve safety. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have objector Mr. House. Can you put your microphone on the large one in the middle, please? Thank you.
On the site visit, the members saw the trees that the applicant seeks to fell in contravention of policies SP 13 and 14. SP 13 states the distinctive elements of landscape character will be protected in the wolds. The NPPF states that existing biodiversity should be conserved or enhanced. This substantial plantation, which is just over a quarter of an acre in surface area and is outside of the village development limit, has a significant impact on the landscape from all three entrances to the village and from many other viewpoints in an area of high landscape value. At the last meeting, the plantation was referred to as an overgrown hedge. We have contacted the previous owner of the land, who has confirmed that she planted the plantation to screen the buildings over 40 years ago. In the applicant's very recent tree survey, the structural and physiological condition of these trees is stated to be good. The applicant's ecological survey classes the area of trees as a mixed deciduous coniferous plantation, which contains sycamore, Norway maple, wild cherry, horse chestnut, western red cedar and ash trees. The survey recorded that the ash trees have a medium potential for roosting bats. 8 species of birds were recorded during the field surveys, 2 of which appear on the red or amber list of high or medium conservation concern. The officer's reports say that the biodiversity will be replaced by the planting that will take place around the new buildings. The wildlife will lose their habitat for some considerable time. If we are to believe that the biodiversity will retain when the screening of the will return when the screening of the proposed buildings is planted, it would stand more chance if the original full screening by trees had been retained. But now we are told that a 2-metre-high hedge plus some scattered trees will be planted. The residents were to be consulted, but this did not happen, and we failed to see how a 2-metre-high hedge will screen a building of 4.8 metres in height. We are highly concerned by the condition that the applicants will have to produce a planting and maintenance schedule which will impact on the amenity to be agreed by RDC, but the residents will not have any input. Another subject raised at the site meeting was the number of vehicle movements, which is predicted by the applicant to be 59 HGVs per day, or one every 11 minutes.
30 seconds left.
On average. Throughout the course of this application, there have been misrepresentations of the number of vehicles using the facilities, and we cannot have any faith in the quoted figures being adhered to. During the life of this application, the residents have said there are no more than 35 employees on the site, none of which are local. The applicant has stated they were 50. The latest figure stated by the applicant is now 35, another misrepresentation. As there is so much fundamentally wrong with this application, we ask you not to approve it. Thank you.
Thank you. And now the agent, Mr. Windrus.
Thank you, Chair. I certainly don't want to repeat the what is a very well-balanced report, which looks at all aspects of the planning policy, looking at economic benefits and the other benefits of the scheme against those adopted, both national and local planning policy. But I do certainly want to stress the measures that have been undertaken so far with respect of the public consultations that we've undertaken, and that we have sought to engage with the local residents and parish council on a number of occasions, and the scheme has been revised, certainly where we felt in response to the comments that we received, and again on balance with the comments that we received from the council's officers and also from the local residents, and again attempting to achieve the right balance for the policy approach. With regard to one of the comments about the landscaping, clearly the existing landscaping has been reviewed by both our own tree consultant and the council's countryside officer, with the balance again taken that the replacement planting will more than offset any loss of those existing trees, which are just considered to have a moderate value. With regard to the trees, again, the original application went in with a wider tree belt. On the feedback we received, we actually then placed more sporadic trees across the site. Again, the applicant is happy to engage further both with the council and parish council to agree exactly what that tree mix is. And the hedgerow, again, will be allowed to grow, and that has a quicker material impact, both in terms of biodiversity and in respect of the landscape value, with the trees then ultimately growing to their maturity in due course. With regard to the wider application, clearly this is something where at the moment Velco operate without any planning restrictions. This application we've offered to have further controls across the whole site to allow both their current operations and the proposed operations to come under a number of planning conditions with regard to the hours of use, and the 7 till 6 hours are fine. The 7 till 7 was simply something promoted by the council's officers, which again is acceptable. And with regard to the improved vehicle access movements, which do allow two-way passing along Ropery Lane adjacent to the access, which has been widened and moved back into the site, and as discussed more recently, Velco have also offered to increase the length of the footway along Ropery Lane, again to improve the highway safety further, which goes beyond the highways officer's requests and requirements, but are something which we are happy to introduce. With regard to the outside storage of tyres, that is on the least visually prominent part of the site, and again part of the existing site, which is under no control through planning at the moment. So again, this is something where Velco, we're seeking to improve the operations on the site by allowing this expansion, and it's hopefully something that you can support, and we will continue to engage with the council and local residents going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, I was present on the site visit, and this is the first time I've been aware that there are vehicles reversing out of that site. And having looked at the entrance, I personally would regard it as completely unacceptable to have articulated lorries reversing out of that site. Perhaps not quite so cars or vans, but there's no real reason for them to do so. Is there enough space in this plan to be able to condition it so that lorries don't have to reverse out of the site?
Page 13, which is the first plan that I've got that just shows the blocks of the buildings, which is the one which also shows the hatched area that the applicants would wish to store external storage of tyres. So have you got that in front of you? I would say on that plan, with those buildings in those open areas, it would be possible to turn a vehicle round. But using the analogy of a house, for example, where we put a turning space condition on, you can put the turning space condition on, but actually making somebody use it is another matter. Do you see what I mean? So in terms of that, you know, you can have a development which has adequate provision for something, but actually if on a day-to-day activity a delivery driver happens to, for whatever reason, not go into the open area, turn or reverse in the site and then come out in forward gear, that's something a planning condition would struggle to deal with. So you can provide the facility, but making somebody use it is the hard bit. I mean, certainly following on from the site visit, which was done, and certainly the issue about the space for two HGVs to pass each other on the lane, that's been reviewed again by the Highway Authority's officer, who confirms, in his view, there is space for that. Interestingly, the Highways officer actually didn't say he thought there was a need for a footway, but that is being offered by the applicant. So in terms of vehicular versus pedestrian issues, the application's providing more than our consultee experts would have us require. So looking at those plans, I would say yes, there's space for vehicles to turn, but it's you know, it's the day-to-day management of that that's the issue with the planning condition. You can provide the space, but how would we ever, you know, it's one of those that you provide the facility and you expect people to use it.
Yeah, that's okay. But would it be legally possible to say that there is a condition that no vehicle should be reversing out of this site? Right. Well, yeah. Well, in that case, I'd like to propose that a condition is added that there is a facility for turning of large HGVs, because obviously the smaller ones, it's not a problem. And then presumably it would then be up to the villagers to complain if there were vehicles reversing out.
I think in that circumstance, all we could show on this drawing, and it'd need to show it on this drawing for us to have something we could go to the site and say that's kept clear for that turning on site, is an identified space on the site that is kept clear of anything to enable a vehicle of size to enter that space and physically be able to turn within the confines of the site and go out in a forward gear. But this plan at the moment doesn't show it. I'm looking at the agent here now, and I'd say we'd have to get a plan to show it so we could describe the condition in that way.
Councillor John Houdin.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think Councillor Potter covered an area that I was going to bring up as well, in terms of vehicles reversing into Ropery Lane. I'm very much in favour of that not happening, and his Councillor Potter's suggestion of a turning circle and for vehicles to drive out would be welcome.
Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Can I just look at Condition 17? If we decide to approve this, we've got a development management plan for the site with regard to vehicles entering, large vehicle movements that prevent them entering Ropery Lane and having this conflict with two large vehicles trying to pass side by side. The question I've got is where would you rest a vehicle that was waiting to get access down Ropery Lane whilst another vehicle is coming out of the site from Ropery Lane, because that will inevitably impact on the local residents that live in the village, and I think we need to be clear about where that should be.
Sitting here now, I couldn't answer that question for you. I mean, clearly there's a situation where the Highway Authority is saying that they're happy with it as it is, So we're going a step beyond that to try and make sure that there won't be those sorts of problems occurring on a regular basis. At the moment, allegedly, we've got those problems happening now without the planning permission, without the expansion of the site. So part of this planning permission seeks to gain controls that currently don't exist at all and include ours on that matter as well. Outside storage in certain parts of the existing site where currently there are tyres stored which wouldn't be. I'll just clicking through the conditions while you were talking there, Councillor Goodrick, and actually there is a condition already relating to the issue of parking spaces and turning areas, and I think perhaps coming back to Councillor Potter's point is that we would need a variation of that plan to cover the large vehicle turning that you've just referred to, because that's just really dealing with the car park at the front of the site. So an area for manoeuvring of large vehicles too, rather than a further condition. I would be looking to deal with that by way of another plan, if that's what members were minded to say.
Are there any further questions? Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Not going away from this entrance exit. If this did get passed, would the exit and entrance be done first, or would the main building be done first? Because I can see where Councillor Potter's coming from. Because you're going to have wagons queuing up again. I mean, logically, it should be done first, I would think.
I think if you read condition 5 that's on the agenda papers, the wording of that at the moment, which is the wording that the Highway Authority would have us impose as recommended, talks about no excavation or groundworks until the accesses to the site have been set out and constructed in accordance with the following requirements. So I think the wording of that condition seems to be saying we want the access before the building work. But I think that's what condition 5 is saying in terms of the chronology of that.
Councillor Burr. Thank you, Chairman. Just for clarification, am I right in thinking that condition 13 will be amended 7 till 6, as we've agreed, has been stated?
I picked that up from the speaker, actually, in the sense that the recommended hours there, of course, currently we haven't got any hours, were recommended by the council's environmental health specialists. We've heard tonight that from the agent, I think, that the 7 p.m. close is not a problem if that's 6 p.m. I think that was one of the comments that the parish had actually also made in their most recent letter, that they would be happier if it was a 6 p.m. close rather than 7. That's in your gift, Chairman, to amend that. The applicant seems to be happy with that amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. So if that could be amended 7 to 6. And what about another condition regarding the ecological protection scheme? Would we be prepared to put in a condition if it's not already in and I haven't seen it?
Sorry, I reported that. It was the last item I reported. Yeah. Following receipt of the additional tree plant, the tree survey information, the council's countryside specialist had looked at this and recommended two extra conditions, one relating to the details of the landscaping and the preparatory works, and the second one was relating to an ecological protection and creation scheme. I mean, I can quickly read that out to you in terms of the word. It said, no development shall take place until an ecological protection scheme addressing bat roost habitat protection / replacement and enhancement has been submitted to and approved in writing by the local planning authority. The replacement restoration strategy shall include the following purpose and objectives for the works: review of site potential and constraints, detailed designs and working methods, extent and location of proposed works, timetable, details of aftercare and long-term maintenance, monitoring and remedial measures. The strategy shall be implemented in accordance with the approved details, and all features shall be retained in that manner thereafter. So it's requiring sort of full life condition.
Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. this condition regarding the hours of work, what they have at the moment, it apparently hasn't had a control. I mean, I've read that somewhere that someone heard very recently a bleeper going off, a reversing bleeper going off at 4:30. So can we only apply, because that's already existing, can we only apply these hours of work to the new site, to the extended site, or does it apply to the old site?
No, the report makes it clear that the hours of use would refer to the whole site.
Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, can I come back to point 17, because it is a management plan that they've got to make for the vehicles before the conditions are in to comply with these conditions. So can we look at where a resting vehicle would have to rest without disturbing the village? Is that part of the plan? Can we do that?
I would envisage that would be the case. I mean, the only recent analogy I can think of that is the Morrison shop in town, where there are resting places off site so they don't stack up outside and block up all the little lanes in the centre of Moulton. So it would have to be something of that ilk, but in an appropriate location. But it isn't just that. It's a management plan which would require further work to be done to discharge the condition.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? If not, we will go into debate. And the local ward member, Councillor Jean Udine.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm prepared to approve I'm prepared to move for approval of this plan, subject to all the conditions being laid down being met, an adequate solution is put forward with regards to the vehicular movements, and that there's no reversing into Ropery Lane, and that there are restrictions on the restriction from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. is endorsed by the applicant.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to pick up from something that was in the parish letter and also the second speaker here, and I'd mentioned this last month. I'm concerned about those trees. We've had a lot more detail this evening about them and the different species they have there. But what really struck me is when we went up Rarey Lane, and saw those trees from the other side. And those trees have been planted specifically, is it 30, 40 years ago, in order to provide a buffer, a really good buffer, between the houses, all those residents that have been new then, and the work on the other side. And now there's a proposal to have sporadic trees around, and a 6 foot or 6 meter, no, 2 meter hedge. And it's not going to be anything like what is there at the moment. Are we going to do this? Is this going to sort of set a precedent that one thing has been set deliberately to help people who are living in an area, and then firm comes along, well, we really need to have this land, so, you know, just get rid of the trees. We'll put a little bit of planting in, because what has been shown on the diagram, I can't find it here now, but I remember, is a lot less than there is at present with all those trees. So I'm really concerned on that, and the fact that in future we might also be looking to see there's very good landscaping in various places, and then, you know, a few years later somebody wants to come along and not just to build but to have a firm and so on, a business, and therefore we take them down, forgetting the reason why they were there in the first place. That is one of my main concerns about it. I share the problems about the entrance as well, but I really feel it'd be really terrible to take down all those mature trees, and they are, and they're beautiful rows, and if I lived in that rare lane, I think I'd be moving fairly fast. Right, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak on the... Councillor Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, these sort of decisions, it's very, very much a delicate balance when commercial premises are closely co-located with residents. It's always going to create problems. And yet, employment and industrial sites are vital to communities. But I'm concerned and rather disappointed at Velco's apparent poor relations with the neighbouring properties, and that was particularly brought home at the last meeting when the agent was speaking and I was watching the reactions from the local residents to what he was saying, because it spoke volumes to me. Now, having viewed the area at the site meeting, I don't believe that the impact would be massive from this expansion, and balancing that against the employment generally, that's a very interesting balance. And I'm pleased to see such comprehensive conditions, which have been mentioned before, were previously not there. And if adhered to, they should really mitigate most of the problems, if not all the problems, that there's been between the applicant and the local villagers. Particularly with respect to flood risk, planting, buffer strips, operating times and traffic management, although I would very much still like to make sure that vehicles are not able to reverse out of the site. But on that basis, I would encourage the local residents to familiarise themselves with the precise details of these conditions and ensure that they're observed and enforced, to make sure that Velco live up to their claims of good relations with the villagers. And on that basis, I could certainly support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak on the application? No. Well, it has been moved and seconded for approval, which I believe we should go one step further to be delegated to the Head of Planning. With the two additional conditions that Gary outlined with regards to landscaping and ecology, with condition 13 being amended to say 7 till 6, and with condition 6 to be amended to have a plan showing a turning facility for HGVs to leave the site in the forward gear. Is that me happy? Yep. So I'll now put that to the vote. Thank you. That application has been approved. Yes, Councillor.
Just for the record,
yes,
the voting is recording Councillor Andrews. Could you make sure that Councillor Andrews isn't here and I'm here?
Of course.
Thank you.
Certainly will do. Moving on to agenda item 7, application at land south of Firthland Road, Pickering. We do have a speaker, but I'll ask Rachel to outline the application first. Thank you.
See them from here. Thank you, Chair. Yes, this application was recently deferred by members on the 3rd of July, and it's now before you on the basis that the applicants have considered that they feel that they've sought to overcome all the outstanding matters and concerns, and they've written a letter to members to that effect. And I'm just going to put it up in front of you. However, the changes that have been made have only overcome matters only in part, and that's with the exception of the inherent harm to the strip field systems, which are a non-designated heritage asset, and it's in relation to their setting and significance. And the impacts cannot be mitigated. What is before members is very much a balanced decision, but the site is not identified by the adopted development plan as a site for housing. There are benefits of bringing forward housing, both market and affordable, but these benefits are tempered by the fact that we are at an advanced stage of the local plan sites document, and whilst it doesn't have full weight by any means, it has some weight. And the provision of market and affordable housing to date in Pickering, and with the in-construction site at Thurthland Road and the minded to approve application at Whitby Road, they reflect the housing mix that has come forward to date and will continue to come forward. The land for the school is not a material planning consideration because, as the development is proposed, it does not generate the need for a school. Therefore, we cannot ask for the land to be so identified for a school. And obviously, as I've referred to earlier, there's the integral harm to the strip field systems in terms of their setting. Matters concerning the suitability of the site for housing will be considered as part of the examination of the local plan sites document, which is undergoing, and it will be considered as part of the examination in public and the hearing sessions, which are in a month's time. And that's irrespective of members' sort of consideration tonight and any determinations that's made of this planning application. Fundamentally, the harm that is identified to the strip field systems cannot be mitigated, and in evaluating that harm against the public benefits, which we were required to do as part of SP12 of the local plan sites document, in conjunction with the advanced progress that we've made on the local plan sites document, the proposals do not accord with policy SP12 of the adopted development plan. On to the photos. A number of members have been on site. This was undertaken earlier on in the year prior to it being brought before you and on the 3rd of July committee. This is the basically the end of Thurthland Road, where the junction then leads into Manor Drive. This is looking to the east along Thurthland Road. These are a series of now demolished garages which form the access to both the application that you're considering tonight, but also the application that was granted consent earlier the previous year. Apologies to all for the state of these photos. All I can say is I am blaming the technology. I did take the photos, but I am blaming the technology, and they are very unclear. What this access is here is to basically show where the emergency access to the site is. This is actually within the site, looking back towards Thurthland Road. This property here is to be retained. This is also within the centre of the site, and you can see in the background the properties of Greenlands Road, and also one of the barns that has been identified as an area for a bat roost and a barn owl roost. This photograph does show the fact that actually, as a site, it is relatively well related to the settlement of Pickering. You can see the properties of Thurthland Road, but you can also start to see the rising land, and you can see Beacon Hill and some of the properties over towards the north into the main town. And this is again a sort of, in effect, a bit more detailed and clearer site where you can actually see also the church spire of St. Peter and St. Paul. And that's another clearer shot showing that it is actually quite a well-related site to Pickering. As members will recall, this was one of the sites that was considered as part of the local plan sites document. And this is the public right-of-way, which runs down the western side of the site. And the public right-of-way officer has been keen to stress that this public right-of-way is retained, although there's no indication in the plans that it would be compromised. Again, this is looking immediately east across the centre of the site towards the properties on Greenlands Road. And this again is looking southwards, and you can see on the eastern side the strip fields and the properties of Greenlands Road. And again, that's basically a closer up shot with the one that I showed you previous, and apologies for the state of the photos. This is again another shot which shows the strip fields and the properties along Greenlands Road. This is the access track that leads down into the centre of the site, which would be retained because it's part of the site that actually isn't part of the application site. It's out with the red outline. And this final shot, or at least I think it's the final shot, is of Greenlands Road, and it's showing the mixture of boundary treatments that exist along on that eastern elevation of the site, and one of the most well-defined strip field systems, strip field that the applicant has reduced the number of incursions into that particular hedgerow, but it's one of the most intact and best sort of representative features on the site. Wasn't the last photo. This is actually looking back from Greenlands Road and looking up to the north of Firthans Road, and you can see the hedgerow there clearer, and that's looking straight across westwards towards Westgate Car Industrial Estate and Rossi Automotive. And this is looking basically southwestwards across into the Vale of Pickering. And this is the most recent landscaping plan, and the key changes are that they have in effect enhanced the landscaping and sort of recreational areas. The owl tower is there, and they have reduced the number of incursions into the strip field system. I think they've taken out, by recollection, 4 of the previous inserts, and to allow basically in effect to satisfy the issues that the countryside officer had raised with regards to the impacts on the field boundaries and the, from an ecological connectivity point of view. And this again is the site layout. I'm happy to go into any detail that members wish to in due course. I've put these plans up because these are the new Walden House type that Persimmon have produced, and it overcomes and satisfies the housing team in respect of dealing with the previous issues that we had with respect to properties over 3 storeys having insufficient living accommodation to match what would be the expected occupancy, but also in terms of the bedroom sizes. They can now, in effect, meet occupancy requirements that would be required as part of the sort of national standards. And that's just the floor plan areas, which show the changes from 4 bedrooms to 3 bedrooms. And that's the second floor accommodation to give the sort of third, what would be the master bedroom. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a speaker, the applicant, Mr. Woolmer.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the committee, before using an application for 161 family homes, the site is located in a sustainable location surrounded on 3 sides by existing development, with residential properties to the north and to the east and industrial units to the west. The site is a natural extension to Pickering. It is well located to local amenities, there being schools, doctors, dental surgeries, convenience stores and Pickering Town Centre, all located within walking distance. In terms of the principal development, the site called to the principles that were set out for sites in Pickering, the Council's local plan strategy document. The proposal is compliant with, and in many cases exceeds, the policy requirements of the Council's plan. You'll be aware that there has been a significant shortfall in the delivery of affordable homes in the Rydale district. The delivery of affordable homes have been particularly low in Pickering, and many of the homes delivered have been age-restricted, resulting in lack of affordable homes for younger families. This proposal over-provides affordable housing, and this is a clear benefit of the scheme, to which considerable weight should be attached. The delivery of much-needed affordable housing vastly outweighs any harm caused to the strip field pattern, which is limited. We have addressed officers' concerns about the impact on the field pattern by amending the layout, and the vast majority of the hedgerow which delineates the strip field pattern on the site would be retained. A number of small sections are proposed for removal, however our proposals more than compensate for loss by providing new sections of hedgerow. We have also addressed concerns about the environmental impact of the scheme, and the Council's advisor on ecology matters now happy with the proposals. We have included a significant landscape buffer. Our landscaping plan includes around 2,960 trees, and we've proposed a wildlife area featuring planting, a pond and permanent habitat for both barn owls and amphibians. The proposal includes land which has been reserved for a future primary school. There is a lack of available land for new schools, and the County Council support this location in principle. We've undertaken a full suite of technical work for the site, which includes, but is not limited to, flood risk, drainage, transport, highways, ground conditions, ecology and archaeology, amongst others, all of which have been assessed, and statutory internal consultees at the Council contend that all technical issues have been addressed. Your officers also do not have any concerns about the impact of the proposal on residential amenity. The letter I sent to members last week summarised the key benefits of the proposal, including the delivery of much-needed affordable housing, providing land for a school, the SIL contribution of around £750,000, the net gain in biodiversity offered by a sensitive approach to designing the site and landscaping, and the provision of a large area of open space and an equipped player. With this in mind, it is respectfully requested that members support this application so that significant benefits of this scheme can be realised for Pickering. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I want to refer back to the Vale of Pickering IDB's comments dated the 3rd of November 2017, which was actually to land at Whitby Road, Pickering, but refers to any further major housing developments. So I'll ask the question at the end, but I'll read it out first. The foul sewage network in Pickering is becoming increasingly under pressure, with discharges of foul untreated sewage into the IDB ditch network becoming more frequent. It's the Board's opinion that substantial improvements need to be implemented by Yorkshire Water Authority to the existing treatment plant before any further major housing developments are granted permission. So my question is, what substantial improvements to the existing treatment plant have occurred since the date of 3rd of November, please?
The answer is there haven't been any, but nor have Yorkshire Water identified the need for any. They actually specifically did comment on this application in respect of the fact that they're aware, obviously, that this application will be in quite close proximity to their own operations, and they were satisfied that they were a sufficient distance away from an older perspective and did not raise any concerns in respect of sewage treatment capacity, nor were any issues regarding surface water management raised by the local lead flood authority once further details had been provided. So they had proposed conditions if the application was either recommended for approval or minded to be approved by members.
Thank you for that. Obviously, I have very grave concerns that with untreated sewage being put into the IDB ditch network, and I actually have followed this up and I have evidence that there is untreated sewage going into Costa Beck. to me, there is quite clearly a problem with the provision of sewage treatment by Yorkshire Water. And I appreciate that there is a dilemma for the planning authority where Yorkshire Water is saying, yes, everything's hunky-dory, and other people are saying, absolutely, no, it's not. Now, this, obviously, as the planning authority, it is critical infrastructure to me. It's an environmental health issue. It's a biodiversity issue. And I would very much like answers to the questions of how much sewage is being produced in Pickering overall, how much sewage is being treated in Pickering, and perhaps now and at least for every 5 years back to around the 1970, and what is the maximum capacity of the sewage treatment system now and similarly every 5 years back to 1970. And I don't know how you're going to get the answers from Yorkshire Water, but I hope it's possible, because unfortunately freedom of information isn't going to work, but I would hope that the planning authority does have the way to get answers to those sort of questions. Thank you.
Chairman, we can ask Yorkshire Water any questions if we get a sufficient advance warning of those questions, if you want those available to make a planning decision, but I don't think you've asked me or anybody else those questions before tonight. All we can report to you is what response we get to a planning application when we're dealing with a planning application, and simply on page 37 of the report on paragraph 642, they Yorkshire Water, have confirmed they're satisfied that the site uses the public foul sewer subject to their necessary permissions. I usually would say on this occasion that if there are capacity problems with sewage treatment plants, Yorkshire Water are usually the first to try and hit a developer and say, we've got a capacity problem, you've got to pay to do it. I don't think we've had that comment from them. So as far as this application is concerned, we're simply not in a position to put a foul sewage deficiency reason for refusal on it. In terms of capturing your question, yes, of course, if you give us the detail of the question, we can look into that and give you a more, full answer.
Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Just for clarification, it's been pointed out that this particular application isn't within the adopted development plan, not in the site's location document that's going to be consulted on in 4 weeks' time. However, there does seem to be some confusion that it was maybe in a previous plan, and I just wanted to just clarify myself with that, because it's like one minute it's yes and one minute it's no, and I was just thinking about an appeal, and I'm forward thinking actually, so if you could just give me some clarification on that, please.
Absolutely, Councillor Burr. This site was a site that was put forward some time ago by the applicant for housing, and it was assessed through what we've termed the site selection methodology, which is asks a series of in effect sustainability considerations around whether a site is acceptable for a particular use. And we consulted on this site in 2015 alongside a number of other sites. There was four sites actually for residential development at Pickering. There was this site, there was the site at Moulton Road, which is now identified as SD6 in the proposed local plan sites document. There was the site at Whitby Road, which is identified as SD5 in the sites document, and that has a minded to approve application. And then there was land at Middleton Road, and those were the four sites. Taking into account that we have to bear in mind planning applications that have been granted, and therefore we're dealing with, in effect, the residual requirement, there simply wasn't a need to bring forward all those four sites. So there's a balancing decision and a choice. You have the luxury of a choice in the development plan system. So in terms of the sites that have then come forward, they're sites that have direct access onto the main road, and they don't adversely impact on the strip field systems. One of the reasons why Firthen Road was considered as an option choice was to give the council flexibility in looking at bringing forward land for housing. It needs to do that. It needs to give itself the opportunity to consider all options and test them. And that's been undertaken. And it also, on balance, as the applicant has identified, would bring forward land for a school, which, had it been needed, we could have then weighed that in the planning balance. But as it stands, there is no need to bring forward a new school at Pickering at this stage, based on the local plan requirements as set out in the local plan strategy. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you very much for that in-depth answer. Thank you very much. Are there any further questions for the officer? Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm just looking at the reasons for refusal, and I'm going to ask a question I often ask. Are we sure these are robust enough to stand up at appeal?
Chairman, if we didn't think that, we wouldn't recommend approval to, refusal to you. We would be recommending approval. So, yes.
Any further questions? If not, then we will go into debate. We don't actually have the local member on the committee, but I wondered whether Councillor Potter, as local to the area, would like to take this one. Thank you.
Yes, happy to do that. Thank you, Chair. Right. On the plus side, affordable housing provision sounds very tempting, being as we're a bit behind on that, to say the least. On the negative side, this is too close to Rosties, with the smells, the industrial and so on. I don't like applications for development such as this when it's too close to industry, and by the very nature of Rosties and the fact that it's pretty much upwind of the site, it's not very helpful. I'm minded that this is not approved on the local plan sites document. I'm well aware that the road and access provision is poor, to say the least. I would need to see very specific conditions around road and other infrastructure before approving something like this. And as I mentioned before, I really have got serious concerns. I apologise for the late questions, because as usual I was only doing this morning. Such is life. But having followed up a little on the what the IDB said, I have heard clear evidence of untreated discharges on a fairly regular basis from Yorkshire Water's site into the Costa Beck. I've unconfirmed evidence of untreated sewage being regularly tankered away from Pickering, which suggests to me insufficient capacity right now. Of course, I can't prove that. So while there have possibly been technical improvements to the treatment works, I've been told that there's been no physical expansion since about the mid-70s, or certainly since the mid-70s, and the same applies to the Moulton facility. So, as I said, this is the sort of critical infrastructure that really concerns me. So, on balance, I think I can go with the officer's recommendation of refusal. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. And anybody else? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I think that there are some pluses for this particular scheme, and that's why I wanted clarification for the justification why we were actually turning this down, because, as has been said before, we do need our affordable housing, and I think it's something that this council wants to aspire to and to try and achieve. However, eloquently put by our officer for the reasons why we aren't taking this site forward, and not wanting to prejudice the Pickering's town folks, that they aren't getting their fair share of the housing mix, because Moulton and Norton have had a fair share. I didn't want to feel that everything was coming to this area and not going into Pickering, but it has been pointed out that we have got sufficient. We are in a position, a fortunate position, a very good position to be able to choose. So on this occasion, I am quite happy to second this application. For refusal. Second it. It's been moved for refusal, so I'm actually seconded it.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak on the application? No, well, it has been moved and seconded for refusal, so I'll put that to the vote. Thank you. That's unanimous. The application has been refused. Moving on to agenda item 8, application at Land off Ings Lane, Pickering. We do have a speaker, but I'll let the officer to outline the application.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I'll try and be brief. I'm aware that I think we've got the applicant registered to speak. This particular application is actually on the agenda tonight because it is a major application, and therefore the scheme of delegation requires currently to be determined by committee. That's purely because of the extent of the red line of the application site, which is over a hectare. The development itself is, I'd hope, fairly self-explanatory in the sense that the proposal is to reintroduce two meanders into the Pickering Beck, with the aim of principally improving the fishery, but also, you know, associated conservation benefits also. So on page 55 you have a plan there which shows the line of Pickering Beck current, which I would suggest is a straightened line of the Beck at some point in the relatively recent past, within the last 40 or 50 years. And with the red dotted lines you can see the meanders that are proposed to be placed back into the valley floor. And on that plan you can also see the in the green dotted line the line of the public right of way which crosses the site, which we've established is not to be hindered by the works, and that letter is on the late pages. The blue, slightly pale blue line is the line of a gas pipeline which crosses the site at that point, and there is no dig zone in that area. That's really the proposal. I'll just show you some photographs. So this is the aerial photograph. If you can just slide back a bit, Rachel, I'm burning your eyes. For some reason on this planet shown as Pickering River. I've never known it as Pickering River. I always thought it was Pickering Beck, but there you go. And this shows the adjacent public highway, and this is Ings Bridge for reference in this area here. So that's towards the northern part of the site. The access into the site is actually in this area here. This is the line of the pipeline that goes across the site in this area, and this is the public right of way. So the meanders coming in this area here, and this is the current line of the Beck, which you can see denoted by the line of trees which are on the bank of the Beck. So these are some old maps showing meanders in the river. I'm not sure quite how accurate they are, but there's also a meander in this area here, whether it's a sort of an old bit of oxbow or whether it was a straight line of river, I'm not absolutely sure. But this is the line of the Beck at the moment, and this is what's being proposed to be inserted, and this is the line of the embankment which you'll see on the photos in a moment. So that's the flood protection to the lane. So this is a view from Ings Bridge towards the Weir. And this is a view back in the opposite direction, so that's the stile next to the Ings Bridge. So you'd walk across the site in this area here. And these are views taken across the site, so you can see the line of the trees. This is the line of the pipeline going across the site. I mean, some of this is just flattened grass because you can't really see any particular features on the site, but that's the line of the pipeline across the site where there would be no digging. And this is the looking further to the south, the nearest adjacent property in the distance on the opposite side of the lane. This is the line of the beck in this area here. So where you see the line of the trees, that's where the line of the current beck runs. And this is just a closer view of the beck in what is a fairly straight section of the beck. And this first line, if you see these white marks on the pictures, these are the line of where the meanders would be created into the paddock area. That's the first meander. This is just a line of some bank erosion, showing a position of some bank erosion on the beck existing. And this is the embankment. Sorry, you can't really see it too well from further back, but this is the taken on the top of the embankment looking back towards the beck in this area here. So you've got the lower area and the flood, what essentially is the flood embankment. And this is the line of the second meander, again denoted by the white pegs on the ground. So you've got two shapes of a U in the beck that would come into the site. And that's the access point at the north end of the site that I pointed to earlier. So that's it, Chairman. I don't think there's anything else to add. I don't think there are any late updates other than the public right-of-way officer's comments on the late pages, who has not got any objection because we've confirmed there are no excavations.
Thank you. We do have a speaker, the applicant, Mr. Hayton.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm Alan Hayton. I'm agent for Pickering Fisheries Association for this application. Essentially, we want to improve our fishery at Big Crooks, south of Pickering. Old maps show meanders were removed in 1850 or so, and again immediately before 1970. So our objective with the application is to restore meanders so that, as far as practical, taking into account the gas pipe, that we restore the river to its previous condition. This will improve the stream environment for fish, invertebrates, plants and wildlife. Now, this part of Pickering Beck is defined as main river, and it's subject to Environment Agency approval for anything that we do. So our plan has been professionally surveyed, and you have the details, I believe, in the pack. The EA have assessed our proposals for impact on flood risk, geomorphology and ecology, and have been satisfied on all points, and they have granted us a flood risk environment permit. And all documentation related to that application to the EA has been submitted as part of the application to the council. The application also meets Ryedale District Council's requirements for ecological assessments. And further, all district councillors representing Pickering have been briefed on this proposal, both verbally and in writing. Now, the officer's report doesn't deal with one significant aspect from our point of view, which is our collaboration with East Yorkshire's Rivers Trust on this application. They are experts in river management and have previously worked on our behalf on Pickering Beck north of the town and on the River Severn at Sinnington. More importantly, they've done similar work creating meanders at Foston Beck near Driffield, and they won an award for this. And for that work, they dug a new channel, landscaped the spoil, reseeded the field, and did some riparian planting, which is essentially exactly what we will be doing as part of this application. So, in summary, given the expert input we are getting from East Yorkshire Rivers Trust, our approval from the Environment Agency,
30 seconds left,
and meeting the council requirements for ecology, Pickering Fisheries Association invite the Planning Committee to approve the application. This may be a bit out of scope, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? No, we shall move straight into debate, and I wondered if Councillor Potter would like to take this one again.
Thank you, Chair. Me again. I don't think it comes as any surprise that I could probably treat you to a couple of hours of dialogue about slowing the flow, but I'll avoid doing that. The agent for the scheme talked perfectly adequately on that. I'm quite happy that with this there's no overall change to the water capacity or the conveyance, and later in the document, page 65 in the report, it does say hence there is no change to the overall area capacity for floodwaters. It's far enough below the town for floodwater levels not to affect any flood risk in the town. The meanders will reduce the gradient of the beck back to the original. It's not going to have much effect, but every little helps. So slowing the flow overall, and yet it'll create faster and slower flows in places which clears the gravels of the riverbed, better for the biodiversity. So that's enough from me, because I can wholeheartedly approve this and move it for approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak on the application? Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. It's an area of Pickering I know very well, and actually I think it's a really good project, so I'm happy to second the proposal.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No, well, it has been moved and seconded for approval, so I shall put that to the vote. Thank you. That's been unanimously approved. We're moving on to agenda item 9, which is the application at the Royal Oak Church Street, Nunnington. We do have a number of speakers here this evening, but before I go any further, I am aware of the sensitive nature of this application, and wondered before we got into questions and debate whether a site visit would be helpful on this occasion. Councillor Arnold.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I am a ward member for Nunnington, and I would like to propose a site visit, please. I don't know if I have a seconder, but I'd like to propose. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Burr.
I was going to ask for a site visit, so I'm very happy to second a proposal.
Lovely. Thank you. Well, it has been moved and seconded for a site visit, so I'll put that to the... Put that to the vote. Thank you. I'm going to apologise to you. Sorry, that has been approved, so we will have a site visit on that. I do apologise to the speakers for keeping you waiting on that item, but I do think it's important that we have a site visit, and then we'll bring it back to the next committee meeting. The Parish Council will get a letter to state when that meeting is going to take place, and will be invited to attend along with a representative from the objectors. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 10, application at Riverview Main Street, Scringham.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm conscious that we've got a couple of speakers registered tonight, Chairman, so I will be brief. I just wish to make members aware of a late update that we received this morning from the occupier of Primrose Cottage, which, if you're able to look at the location plan on page 146, is one of the occupiers of one of the properties. This is one of, I think, six new properties in total. Members will probably recall we dealt with relatively recently a stables building at the other end of the sixth house at Meadow House. And this is the other one at the other end. And in essence, we've got a relatively recent development of six properties there, Chairman. And the planning permission which was granted had a linear development which very much followed the development limit, with the result that the curtilages of those properties are relatively modest to the rear, which is on the eastern facing boundaries. But the other land owned by the developer at the time appears to have been sold to the two end properties, so you've got land forming pasture land behind the back of all the properties, but in two ownerships. And the I'll show you some photographs in the moment, but the property at Meadow House, which is the southernmost one, recently had planning permission from this committee for a stables building which was located on that part of that meadow area. At the same time, we'd also received a complaint about this application, which was, or rather this summer house building, which led to an investigation which has resulted in the current application, which originally was submitted to retain the summer house but also retain the whole of the area for residential curtilage, which was clearly quite considerable. So the plan you see before you on page 146 is actually a plan which reduces the area of the proposed curtilage extension quite significantly to the area that's shown red on that plan. So it draws it all back in. So I'll show you some photographs in a moment, and I'll roughly try and point out where the extent of curtilage is proposed, because at the moment the boundary of it isn't defined on the site. So this is the building, and this is the line of what was the back of the gardens as originally, with the original planning permission for the six properties. As you can see, the levels drop away a little, and this is the building that's described as the summer house here, and just at the back there you can see the line of the boundary of the property. So this is it looking it back from the other direction, and so this is the garage that serves the property on the it's located behind the dwelling, but this building's immediately behind that, and you can get a feel for the change in levels there. And this is looking across the paddock from the, I suppose, the southern end of the curtilage. So you're looking across the back of the property here, and the curtilage that they're proposing would be in this area here. So it's quite a modest area of the paddock. It's not the whole paddock. Originally the red line covered the whole lot. And then looking backwards, again you get a feel for how this relates to the adjacent properties. So this is the application site, its garage is there, this sits immediately behind the residential garage, and then the curtilage comes roughly in this area here. So it goes around the area they've basically put the domestic planting in at current time. Going across here you can see the backs of the adjacent properties, so that's how deep the gardens are, they're a lot shorter. And this is further down the property, so you're looking back in what now would be retained as paddock, which also had a requirement for planting when the permission was granted, and these are adjacent more established buildings in this area here. We've had a number of letters come in from residents of adjacent properties, and the occupier of this property did express some concerns about overlooking from within the building, but that window has since been blocked, so there's no backward facing window. And this is the view looking across the other half. So if you're looking at page 146 again, this is the back of the properties on the southern extent of the sixth property. That's the sixth property, and that's the stable building I was talking about before, and this is their paddock in this area here. And this is a view from within the garden
of the property, the sort of lawful extent of the garden, if you like, at the moment, looking out towards the river way off in the distance. So the curtilage area would be this bit here, and the rest would retain as paddock. And the proposal is that that would be planted with native hedging, so that's what the conditions are looking to produce. You'll note that there was quite a degree of backwards and forwards on the processing of this application, and in terms of conditions, one of the neighbouring properties had expressed some concerns about maintenance of the hedgerows that would be planted to be no more than 2 metres high, which is recommended as condition two. That really sort of, we almost had the same discussion on a grander scale at Weaverthorpe earlier on tonight, is to make sure that whilst providing a screen that the boundary planting is not oppressive, because the gardens are quite short. So it's one of those sort of balance recommendations, Chairman. As amended, we're happy to recommend approval, but it is a retrospective application, and that's what we're dealing with tonight.
Thank you. Our first speaker is Mr. Wilkie.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Good evening. So I live as a direct neighbour to the Kings, who have placed the application in. As you were looking from the back, I live on the right, and I believe that I'm the closest property to, just on the right there, to the application site, yes. Closest property to this application. And I believe that we are the greatest affected by the application. So there are two elements of this, as you stated. One's the summer house, and the other is the change of use to domestic, to paddock, to curtilage. So the summer house, I want to comment on the effect that that's had on us as neighbours, or lack thereof. As you can see, it's been sensitively placed, and we can't see it from our property. You'd have to go to our back fence to be able to see the summer house. We've heard no noise whatsoever from the site, no sound systems or anything playing from there. So there's been absolutely no effect on us as direct neighbours of the summer house. And I fully support it, and urge for you to pass this as well. The other one is the change to curtilage, and you mentioned about someone putting an application about comment about the height, and that was myself. Once I realised that the boundary of the application site was coming up to 2.9 metres across the back of our fence, I realised it could raise some concerns around hedge height. The other thing was hawthorn, use of hawthorn, and the permitted rights. Verbally agreed these with the Kings, and I believe, as you said, the planning office is supporting this as well. And on that basis, I fully support it as well. I think that the Kings have done a fantastic job, making a pleasurable outlook for us as neighbours. And in the 18 months I've lived there, I've noticed a great increase and in variety of wildlife species being attracted to the area. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And now the agent, Mr. Newby.
Thank you, Chair. In support of the officer's recommendation for approval, we would ask members to consider the following points. Firstly, and by way of background to the application, Mr. and Mrs. King landscaped and laid out the paddock as domestic curtilage with a summer house early last year as an extension to their garden without objections from their neighbours, but obviously without planning permission. However, the retrospective planning application now before you proposes an area which has been substantially reduced and revised from that originally submitted as a result of negotiations with the planning officer and as a response to the neighbour representations, which were both in support, one of which you've heard this evening, and against. While some of the neighbour objections have been addressed, those that remain, whilst being material considerations in the determination of the application, are not, in our opinion, sufficient to justify a refusal of planning permission. Indeed, the planning officer addresses all the relevant planning issues in her report and has concluded that the proposal with appropriate conditions is considered acceptable in terms of its character, form and design, its position within the area of high landscape value, landscaping and neighbour amenity, and as such she recommends approval of the application, which we support. We submit therefore that that in accordance with the planning officer's view, the proposal is considered to be acceptable in terms of policies SP13 landscapes, SP16 design, SP19 presumption in favour of sustainable development, and SP20 generic development management issues of the Rydale Plan Local Plan Strategy and the NPPF. We therefore commend the planning officer's recommendation of approval to you and submit that there are no sound planning reasons or other material considerations that would prevent approval of the application. Thank you.
Thank you. I think Gary has just got something to come back to.
Chairman, I omitted in my earlier presentation to say that we had received a late comment from a neighbour further to the south of the site who occupies Primrose Cottage, who can be seen on page 146, whose comment was more, without raising any specific issues, as raising concerns about people sort of taking the law into their own hands and breaching planning controls and setting an undesirable precedent. It was really concerned as much about jumping the gun and being it's one of those sort of retrospective application type concerns, but actually I think the comment was also taken in or made in the context of the other application that we'd also dealt with for the stables. It's regrettable that we've had two together that have come in as a retrospective rather than in the conventional sense, but to be honest, aside from saying that, there isn't really anything else that's in there that makes any specific comments about what they think about the scheme, other than it's retrospective and somebody sort of jumped the gun again. Well, whilst I'm sure that sentiment has some sympathies with members, we have to judge what we've got on its planning merits, and that's what we've done in the recommendation, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? No. Then we shall go into debate. Councillor Potter.
There you go. Thank you, Chair. Yes, it's all a matter of balance, isn't it? I couldn't help but ask myself, particularly as these are brand new houses that's only been around for a year or two, would this have been passed as a development on agricultural land had it come forward as an application originally? And a couple of things particularly caught my eye in the appraisal, where it says the proposal included the change of use of the entire paddock to form domestic curtilage. This was considered by officers to be an unacceptable extension of the domestic curtilage. The comments from Scraingham Parish Council I thought were particularly relevant, where it says people taking development into their own hands without regard for planning law or the impact upon neighbouring properties, and its appropriation of agricultural land for domestic purposes, the allocation of domestic garden area for the overall development was placed under intense scrutiny before permission was granted, and clearly did not include the land in question. So that all gives me great concern, albeit listening to the views of the immediate neighbour, who quite clearly doesn't have a great deal of opposition for this. But I do rather take exception at people believing they're above the planning system, whether it's through ignorance and thinking that they shouldn't be going through the planning system, or whether just perhaps thumbing the nose at it a little. I think that's it. Thank you.
Right. Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I do think you are correct, Councillor, saying that this is a matter of balance, and I think our officers have looked at this and they have in negotiation reduced it down, and I think that if it was in front of us today, I think probably we would approve it. So on balance, I think our officers have got it right, so I would like to move approval.
Anybody else wish to speak on the application? Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm going to take on board what Councillor Potter said. I dislike retrospective planning applications. I always have, because it takes away the committee's opportunity with the officers to decide what's right and what's wrong for an area. So I dislike it from that point of view. I look at that and I think, would we have allowed that to have happened when those houses were being built? Why did we put that line in that said, this is the garden area, this is paddock area? And for me, we clearly, and it's not that long ago, certainly within my memory, said that those were small gardens and the rest of it was paddock. So I'm really disappointed by this. So I'm not going to challenge the officer's recommendation, because it is what it is, but I'm not sure I'm going to vote for it one way or the other.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No. Councillor Maud.
It is a question of balance, but I'm going to second the proposal that we should accept this recommendation for approval.
Thank you. Well, it has been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put it to the vote. Thank you. That application has been approved. Agenda item 11 is any other business, and just need to set a date for the committee site visit. So if you just bear with me. I'm looking at the 12th of September, which is the Wednesday. Has anybody got any? Any more takers for the 12th? Are we all right on the 12th? Yeah. Yeah, so we're going for the 12th then at 9:30? Twelfth of September, 9:30? It is, my love. We could move it to the Tuesday, but the only thing I've got to say then is the staff briefings.
Yeah.
Here. So 9:30 on the 12th. Thank you. The next planning committee meeting
is the 25th of September.
Is the 25th of September.
Gosh.
And
we'll that's probably
beyond that committee.
I would imagine.
Agenda item 12 is a list of applications determined under delegated powers. I therefore close the meeting. Thank you all for attending and wish you all a safe journey home.